My definition of PR is everything that you say, everything that you do, and everything other people are saying about you.
You're listening to Season 2 of Not Another Business Show with your host, Tracy Sheen.
Be a saying in business that it's not what you know, it's who you know. And while that is still relevant these days, it is possibly more relevant to say that you are who Google says you are. Building your authority and credibility is what Google is looking for in any person or any business. So today we unpack the mysterious world of public relations. Annette Densham from Publicity Genie shared her definition of PR at the top of the show, but she had a little more to say on her true definition of PR that's worth hearing before we get too caught up in the rest of today's episode.
My definition of PR is everything that you say, everything that you do, and everything other people are saying about you. So it's about maintaining your public image, your profile, and it's about building really strong relationships with the media, with your audience, with the people who need your products or your service. So it's really promoting yourself and your business and doing that through storytelling. And I know storytelling's probably a bit overused now too, but it's about finding that content that engages people, that connects with them emotionally, because I believe that people don't do business with businesses, they do business with people. There's got to be some heart behind the way that you market and share what you do.
Today, I want to take a deep dive into this world of PR and what it means for us as business owners, how we can access the world of public relations for ourselves. So welcome. You're listening to Season 2, Episode Lucky 13. Settle in and get comfy because I think this episode is going to be jam-packed with great information and strategies that you can immediately implement into your own business to increase your own profile and build your credibility in the eyes of Google.
Public relations is about telling your stories. It's about communicating with the people that matter to you and to your brand. And it's using the multitude of tools and techniques and mediums that we have available now to share your light and your voice with the people that, one, can influence your brand in terms of your reputation and your credibility, and two, be able to buy from you.
A great place to start with this conversation is to hear the different definitions that people have for what PR actually is. Annette refers to it as everything you say and do and everything other people are saying about you. While just then, Katrina Pollard from CP Communications likens PR to you telling your stories. While our UK guest this week, Sharon Bolt, defines PR like this.
Well, I think that public relations is something that is left untouched for so many business owners and entrepreneurs. I hear so many people talk about Facebook advertising or direct mail or other forms of advertising and YouTube, but I rarely see anything in line with public relations. So for me, it's something that's completely untouched. It's an area that is left alone by so many people. I think people tend to think that it's for the big guys, it's for the big companies that can afford to employ the services of a public relations firm or a publicist or something like that. But what people, I think, don't really understand is that you can do this yourself. The great thing is it's free. It's either free or it's very low cost. You get instant credibility and your potential customers feel they know you. So there's this trust that's built up. Now, the other thing that I love about getting public relations is the fact that you can then charge premium prices, because people who see you or they hear you in the media, they expect that you're going to be expensive. people have a different perception. So you are able to charge the premium prices and, in fact, the prices that you deserve to charge, and people actually expect it. So this overcoming of objections of price is something that is very easy to either overcome or is not there at all, in my experience. And people are, it's the nearest that I've found, is people were saying, here's my credit card, just book me. I just want this done and I want you to do it.
Now we have the various definitions out of the way, we can begin to look at how building PR into your own business can make a real difference. In fact, Sharon is a great example of how using PR has changed her own business and helped her create an entirely new business.
Yeah, well, people are actually often shocked when I tell them about my first media experience, because I actually got myself booked on BBC Radio 2, which is a national radio station in the UK, without any prior media exposure. Now, I think that seems like a big deal on its own, but even more than that, I was introduced as a dog training expert, where I was answering dog behaviour questions, when I had a complementary therapy business and not dog training business. At the time, dog training was my passion, and that's what I went on to do for the next 9 years. But I just saw an opportunity. I believed I could make a difference, so I just went for it. And it was really the start of numerous media interviews.
So at the time that Sharon was asked to appear on BBC Radio 2, she wasn't in the PR business. In fact, she wasn't even in the dog training business. So I asked her how she ended up being asked to talk about dog training and behavioural issues when at the time she had a complementary therapies business. She just saw an opportunity and figured she had nothing to lose. But when the average business owner is starting out and has no idea where to start or what to do,
it's naturally important to learn what to do. I mean, I started off, I just saw an opportunity on a national radio station. It was current. The radio host had said he was going to get a dog expert, and he mentioned from the TV. And I thought, you know what? I haven't been on TV before, but I'm going to go for it. So it's very often about taking the opportunities, what's current now, either in the news or what people are looking for. So if you just take that concept on its own and you hear somebody saying on a radio station, or you find somebody online that is looking for your particular expertise, then it's as simple as writing a quick headline and just pitching yourself. And the crucial thing here is that people are busy, whether it be a reporter or a journalist or a show host, people are busy. So you need to be concise and clear. So you get to the point straight away. So almost in that first paragraph, you need to sum up what it's about and how you can benefit that show or that publication. So that really, when I did that for the national radio show, that would have taken me probably half an hour to an hour. Now, naturally, there are many, many different angles and story ideas and headlines and things that you can do, which is going to take longer for you to learn. But you can really get going with this very, very quickly, really within an hour.
If you're still not clear on your pitch, then make sure you go back and listen to episode 5 of this season. Various styles and types of pitches were the topic of that show. Sharon makes the whole reaching out to the media sound extremely easy. But before you even think about sending your first media release, Sharon suggests you spend time getting to know the journalists and media outlets that you want to approach.
What I suggest people do is to get very clear of their target market and what their pain points are, what they need to know, and where they hang out. So what newspapers do they read? What journals do they look at? What shows, podcasts, what TV programs or YouTube channels do they like to look at? So get very clear of where your target market hangs out, And then from there, see the particular ones that you would like to be a guest on. So yeah, watch the news as well and read the local and national papers and go to the specific websites and just get an idea of what type of angles, what story ideas they like to do. Do they like long stories or short stories or sad stories or fun stories? So get an idea of, yes, what type of publications or shows that you would like to be in, and then really fine tune it of what specific journalists or show hosts or producers are the ones for you to then contact and build a rapport with. It's all about relationships. You need to build a relationship and rapport with those particular people.
Tanya Target, our resident media expert from Headline Hunter, told me that as business owners, we should be thinking about the media like this.
The first question I would ask you is, would you like to generate sales or would you like to create profile? So do you want sales generating media or do you want expert positioning media? And I'll just explain what those are. So sales generating media literally just means publications or outlets that your customers or potential customers read, watch or listen to. But those publications might not have that air of credibility that you'd be looking for if you wanted to position yourself as a world authority on something. So say, for instance, you operated in the finance industry. It looks really good to be in the Financial Review or CEO magazine or The Australian. But if your customers are mum and dad investors, you might actually be better off in a consumer magazine that's perceived to be a lower market publication that doesn't have the kudos of those more conservative higher-end publications. So the Fin Review and the Oz are expert positioning media. Unless your demographic, your sales demographic, read those publications, and then they are sales generating media as well. It's unusual for the two to combine when you do get an outlet that is sales generate and expert positioning. That's absolute gold, but quite often they are different. So the first question I'd ask you is, what do you want to do? Generate sales or do expert positioning? The beauty, of course, of learning how to do it yourself is you can do both. You can have a media release out to generate sales and you can have a media release out for expert positioning.
If you're starting to think that this PR thing is something you would like to pursue for your business, then Tanya shared another valuable piece of advice in preparation for your media assault.
You want to set up your Google Alerts. If you don't know how to set up Google Alerts, you need to Google Google Alerts and how to set it up. I want you to put in keywords to do with your industry. And what that will do is it will pull in stories from all around the world, and we want them from all around the world, into your inbox every day. And you're looking for stories that potentially you could add value to and content to and increase the value in the public conversation. What that will also do is it will give you the journalist name who wrote that story. And then you need to follow them on Twitter. Never pitch a story on Twitter, but follow them on Twitter and just start to see what pattern stories they write about and whether or not they are in fact your go-to person. So if you work in parenting, your go-to journo is going to be someone to do with education, families, even possibly health. When I say education, families, and possibly health, they're what we call rounds in journalism. So journalists write about different rounds. So you'll have an education rounds person or an education writer. You'll have a family rounds person or family writer. And that's a little bit of jargon, I'm sorry. But it's really important because they are the people that you need to go to. So, for instance, if you have a great story about coffee, for instance, and you take it to the education writer, they're going to be wondering why the hell you have come to them, unless you've got a new study out that's shown that university students are improving 25% more if they've chucked down 8 cups of double strength lattes before their exams. If you took that coffee media release and you went to a crime reporter and you didn't know that that journalist was a crime reporter, they're immediately going to say no. And you're going to think, oh, I don't have a story, I haven't been going long enough, I'm not an expert, I need to hire a PR person, when in fact, you just went to the wrong person. So it's really important that you do go to the right person. One really easy way to find your go-to person is to set up your Google Alerts.
So you've set up your Google Alerts, you've started following a few journalists on Twitter, you're reading, watching, or listening to their stories. You've done this for a while and you're starting to feel a bit more confident. The next step is to figure out what your stories are or your angles. Remember, Katrina and Annette shared a good part of PR is about sharing your stories. So I checked in with Annette to ask her why she thought storytelling was such an important part of this whole PR business.
We have been telling stories since we discovered fire. That's how we shared our history. That's how we share the things that happen in our family and in our community. Like, it's nothing new. Just the way that we are now using it is new, because ultimately what we want to do is to connect, to make a sale and to make more money, do all of those things that we're in business for. Why we connect to stories is because if you can trigger someone's heart, you think about why we go to the movies, why we watch the TV shows that we do, why is reality TV so popular? It's because here are people being real. They're going through moments of anger and pain and joy, exhilaration and stress. And we're able to go on that journey with them. It allows us to connect with them. It makes it more real. And if you're using words just to spruik features and benefits, it becomes, there's a distance. You put up a wall because there's nothing that you can connect with there. But when you start with adjectives and adverbs and all of those wonderful words that takes people on a journey, then you let them a little bit closer to you. You let them into your heart. You let them into your journey. And that's where friendship starts. That's where relationships build. So for storytelling, and it goes back to, this is my definition of PR, it's about building relationships. And you can't do that unless there's some realness and some authenticity to the content that you create.
Stories and storytelling is something I'm really passionate about. And it's my belief it's one of the reasons that podcasting is such an incredibly effective medium for business owners. But for most of us, we tend to think, I don't really have a story, or no one will find that interesting. Sometimes it's just that you're so busy doing everything else in your business that you can't even see the stories that your business has. Katrina shared with me, though, that she hears this every day, and then in actual fact, every business has its own stories to share. And finding the stories of your business also ties back to getting to know the journalists and the media outlets that you'd like to work with.
Do you know what the most people say to me is, especially entrepreneurs, they say, you know, I don't really have much of a story. Well, every single brand and every single personal brand have amazing stories to tell. It's not only just about figuring out how to uncover them, it's actually acknowledging that they're there in the first place. And I think the thing to think about is to kind of reverse engineer that, in that you need to think about which media outlets that the people that matter to your brand, your target audiences, your customers, your stakeholders, your investors, what publications, what media outlets they read, and then start reading those, start listening to them, start watching them, and then you will start seeing what kind of stories that they cover, and it will give you so many ideas around your stories. So kind of rather than going, okay, oh my God, what am I going to write? What am I going to pitch? What stories do I have? How am I going to uncover them? It's actually doing it the other way around and allowing those publications and those outlets and the journalists that you might pitch to, they will give you insight into stories that you might want to uncover. So it's really thinking outside the square rather than, this is my product, this is what I do, I'm going to write a media release about it, is really, really thinking broadly.
Annette also shared with me that she helps her clients to uncover their own stories or angles by...
It really depends on the industry that you're in, but an angle basically is a way to look at a story, is what's the most interesting thing about what it is that you're doing. Coming up with stories can mean, you know, look at the problems that you solve in your business, like... media. For me, I'm in PR. What are the problems that I solve for my clients? One, I make it easier for them to manage their time so they can do what it is that they're best at, what their genius zone is. You know, I help people uncover stories in their business. I help them create and craft media releases, all those things they don't have time to do. So I suggest to anybody who comes to me and says, oh, look, I want to start creating content for the media, sit down and write down 10 things of the problems that you solve for your clients, and there's 10 different angles in your article. Then you can go and have a look for who might be interested in those. Case studies, are also a wonderful way to come up with great angles. How did those problems that you solved, how did that help someone else? And then you can use that to promote. And look, and if you can't get in mainstream media, you can then use that on your LinkedIn pulse page. You can share that with an audience which may even have a bigger readership than the newspaper that you want to be in. Or you can go to a podcast and say, look, here are the problems that I solve. Would you like to interview me about this? So it's about growing your circle of influence by those that you associate with and those that can help share your message. Another great way to find a story is your story. Like, what is it about your business? Why did you get into business? Was there an obstacle that you had to overcome? Was there a big win that you've had? So if you've won an award, a business award, small business publications love stories like that. They're really interested in people achieving. Or what are some of the obstacles that you've overcome? Do you have some tips and hints so other people can avoid the mistakes that you made?
Love that. Write down all the problems you solve for your customers, and there are some story angles for you to start with. I also love that Annette reminded us that PR is not all about chasing down the media. PR is about everything you do and say in your business. So you may find you get better traction releasing a podcast, or writing a regular article, starting a YouTube channel, or Snapchatting your clients. PR is as much about you starting and continuing a conversation with those people that you'd like to work with as it is about chasing down the media. In fact, Annette and I were discussing the fact that Andrew Denton, who has recently released his own 17-part podcast, was quoted as saying that podcasting is the only real form of journalism left.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we are all journalists now. I can pick up my phone and be at something that's happening in my community, and I can make a report on it and I can put it on Facebook. Someone will pick it up. It'll go viral, hopefully, or it might appear on the news itself. And you may have noticed how much the news is using people's tweets as the basis for a news story. Or, hey, this woman got on Facebook and she said that her childcare centre won't let her do this, this and this, and she's outraged and is going to protest. That becomes the news. So we all have the capacity to be news providers and content creators. And, yeah, podcasting is a great way to go because you've got artistic license. You don't have to worry about advertisers. And so if you don't want to rely on mainstream media, create your own media and then build a profile around that and get people to listen and to subscribe.
Before you get completely stressed out that the only way you are ever going to raise your profile is to be featured in the mainstream media, let that go. In fact, since I started this podcast around 12 months ago, I now have listeners in over 62 countries. Each week, my guests share with me that just by being featured on this show, they are being approached by ideal clients to work with them. Now, yes, I'm biased because I love podcasting and I love working with other business owners to create their own successful podcasts. But the point is, don't limit yourself to mainstream media. Or, as Annette put it,
we don't have to do the things the same way as everyone else. And I think there is no time like the present to create something new and something different that will build your profile, as long as it's respectful and it's authentic and it's, you're not just doing it to be the next big thing. It comes back to, again, what's your purpose? Because if you can create a podcast show or a blog that's got purpose, that's bigger than you, and it's got emotion and it tells a story, then you're 10 steps ahead of everyone else who's just pumping out content because it's like, oh, okay, I can build a profile from this.
I think you get the point about not thinking PR is just about media. But it still is about figuring out what you have to talk about, your stories or your angles. Sharon from Get Free Publicity Now also had a great way of explaining what an angle actually is.
It's really important to understand what's actually meant by an angle, because I think people do misunderstand what this is all about, because coming up with story ideas is actually very easy to do when you understand what an angle is. So I'll give an example of what an angle is. So for example, when Prince William married Kate Middleton, there was a media frenzy. So it was one story, but from that one story, the news reporters, they covered the up-to-date announcements and information about the wedding. Now, the fashion reporters, they took another angle and they focused on the wedding dress and what the bridesmaids were wearing and the mother of the bride. Now, for example, the business reporters, they naturally went from a different angle. They reported on how it affected business and economy, where the foreign reporters, they looked at the impact that the wedding was having in different countries of the world, whereby the travel writers, they wrote about places to eat and shops and different places to stay in London and the changing of the guards at Buckingham Palace, the events that the royals attend and where they eat and where they like to spend their time. So it's easy to just see that from one story, there's lots of different angles that you can take.
Hopefully that helped you get a better handle on what stories and angles are and how you might go about finding your own. But let's look now at the kind of stories that journalists are looking for.
Now, for story ideas, it's important to know your target market. So when you're coming up with story ideas, you're starting to pitch or send a press release, which is going to get the audience attention as well as the journalist or reporters. So there's a few questions to ask yourself. First is, what are my target market's pain points? What keeps them awake at night? What would they really like to change? Or what questions do they regularly ask me? So for example, if you're a dentist and you know that people are confused about the different teeth whitening products on the market, you could come up with a pitch or a press release explaining the different products, what the differences are between them, and what you'd recommend for which people. On the other hand, if you're, say, a social media expert and people keep asking you how do they set up a successful LinkedIn ads campaign, now you could write a pitch explaining the common pitfalls that people make when setting up an ad and how to do this without spending a fortune. Now the other thing is, often you won't be specifically the story, you'll be a part of it. So the skill that you're going to develop is to make sure that the story is interesting enough to make the news, make the papers and the shows, but it still includes an element of your promotion as well. So I'll give you an example. If Susan owns a hairdressing salon and is getting a lot of requests for a particular haircut, it could be a new fashion by a celebrity or a haircut that is currently the most popular style, then she can position herself as an expert who can talk about this trend in the media. Now, the story won't be about her, it will be about the haircut, but will give Susan and her business a big mention in the article and will give her automatic credibility and authority in her field. Now, in this type of situation, if Susan includes client photos, you know, like the before and after photos, and gets testimonials of how wonderful this person now feels because Susan has cut this hairstyle and she feels now magnificent and has now met her ideal partner, and what a mention that this particular article will turn into.
How you go about pitching your story to the media is very different to how you deliver a social pitch or an investment pitch. And simply for the time factor, we're not going to cover that in today's show. To do it justice, we need to dedicate an entire episode just around getting your media releases right, following up and pitching your story. So you can probably guess what we'll be chatting about next week. But before we go, I thought the last thing we could touch on was whether or not there is a right time as a business owner to be looking for PR opportunities. I'm going to give Tanya the first right of reply on this one.
The best time to start generating media is right now. It's right now because it doesn't matter how many runs you have on the board, how long you have been in business, you're very unlikely, in the beginning at least, to get your business name mentioned. Journalists aren't in the habit of promoting business names. What they do is they tell stories. And this is why a lot of people don't think the media is an effective marketing tool, because the short-sighted entrepreneur, the short-sighted business owner just wants that glory of having their business name up there in lights, in print, on TV and on radio. If you go in with that attitude, you're very unlikely to get free publicity. But if you come in it with an understanding that sharing my tips and my knowledge and my story and the stories of those that I have helped, you will in fact be able to get publicity for your business, for your brand, for your product, for your service. So it honestly doesn't matter. Look, if you have knowledge to share and you have expertise, it doesn't matter whether you have been in business for a nanosecond or 10 years, I would encourage you to share great content no matter where you are on your journey. So where a lot of business owners go wrong is they wait too long. They think that they've got to have all these runs on the board, when in fact, if you wait, the opportunity may never arrive. So I really encourage you to embrace using the media now, no matter where you are on your journey.
And Sharon had this to say.
When I first had my very first media exposure, it was on a national radio, BBC Radio 2, which is a national radio in the UK. Now, I didn't even have a dog training website, never mind a lead capture page or a funnel. I had absolutely nothing. Now, I did have, I think it was about 4 or 5 million listeners. There was a big opportunity there for me. But what I got from that was the credibility. So what that meant then is that opened doors for me. And it doesn't have to be national exposure. It can be local exposure. But it means that when you do your marketing then and on your website, you can then say as featured on, as being in the feature of whatever the publication is, so that you are starting to use that in your marketing then, so it builds your credibility. And then, yes, of course, down the line, you're going to get more and more prepared. And for me, that's when I started to look at getting the website and starting to get an area on my page that people could sign up for a free report. But I didn't have that at the beginning. I had no website. I wasn't doing that as a full-time business. I was running a different business full time. It was a transitional period for me, but I saw the opportunity and I went for it. And that meant that I could use that to open many doors, regardless whether it's national or local media. If you say get something in the local paper where you are the window cleaner who's been featured because of your particular way that you clean windows, and you have a particular gadget or a particular formula or a particular style, and you're featured in the local paper, you become the local hero. You become the local celebrity. This is what it does for you. You become the celebrity in your local area. And that's when people actually want to find out about you. You become above your competitors just from that very one appearance. So it doesn't matter whether you're set up or not. Ideally, of course, yes, you will do down the line, but you don't need to begin with in order to start to benefit from PR experience.
Just in case you still haven't got the hint, here's the final word on when to start generating your own publicity from Annette, who has a slightly different take on jump in feet first.
Look, you can start PR at any stage in your business, but what I found is that there are a few foundational strategies and tools that you need to have in place. You really need to understand your target market first and foremost, because if you don't understand your target market, then you can be playing in the wrong media pond. So your message is not getting to the people who need to know about you, hence being the media connector. You've got to have a plan, regardless of whether you're a startup or whether you're an existing business with, you know, 5-10 years under your belt. If you don't know where you're going, and you don't know how you're going to get there, then it's really easy to get distracted. So if you're looking at PR as a marketing strategy, then start anytime you like, but sit down, make sure you've got the basics in place first, because Otherwise, then you get into it, your website's not up to scratch. You know, you get on a current affair and you get 3,000 people banging on the door of your website and it doesn't hold up to scrutiny. It crashes and that looks really bad. So you always need to be thinking about brand reputation and brand management.
There's a lot to take in there, isn't there? I think the biggest takeaway for me speaking to today's guests is that PR, or generating your own publicity, isn't just about gaining exposure with the media. Start thinking about your ideal clients, your target market, and what stories you have to share with them. And start getting some content out there. Whether it's blogging on your website, publishing articles through LinkedIn, creating your own podcast, networking, or going after mainstream media, the end game is all about getting Google to recognize you as an expert and authority in your field. A big thanks to all my guests this week, the publicity genie Annette Densham, Katrina Pollard from CP Communications, Sharon Bolt from Get Free Publicity Now, and our very own headline hunter, Tanya Target. As always, though, the biggest thanks goes to you for listening in. If you've enjoyed today's show, then please share it with your friends and your network. If you want to help spread the word about Not Another Business Show, then consider leaving us a review on iTunes. It's super quick, super easy, and means we get to reach a whole bunch of new people. Until next week, I'm leaving you with a quote from Sir Richard Branson, who said, "Publicity is absolutely crucial. A good PR story is infinitely more effective than a front page ad."
Not Another Business Show is edited and produced by Corporate Podcast Productions. Let your story be heard.